You know, I mentioned to you periodically that I'll prepare a Sunday school lesson, and then either Brother Bob's sermon kind of ties up with what I was going to talk about in Sunday school, or I'll get some other indication from someplace that, you know, I'm doing the lesson I think God wanted me to do, and that has certainly been the case this week. Early Wednesday morning, I prepared the lesson, and later that morning, I got, I don't know what you call it, but Mona sends out, Mona, is it a blog that Brother Bob writes? I mean, is that what did you call it? She sends out the blog and email of what Brother Bob's talking about that particular day, and it matched up perfectly with what my Sunday school lesson is today. And then also, I'm going to read you a couple of Bible verses that I found this morning when I was getting ready to come to church. But the topic of today's lessons is, what do we do when Christians become a target? And, you know, I remember several years ago teaching this class, I would occasionally do a Sunday school lesson on how Christians are being persecuted in other parts of the world. And I warned you, not because I had any special insight, but because the Bible told us that all Christians at some point are going to face that persecution. And I told you that just because today it's happening in the, you know, 5,000 miles away across a couple of oceans from us doesn't mean that someday those same problems won't be right here in the United States. And we're starting to see that. And that's what today's lesson is about some things that we see happening to Christians around us, to Christians that we can relate to. One instance of a situation in England that's come up before and has come back again. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about these situations and about how we can adapt to what's going on around us. Let's start with Matthew 5:11. It says, "Blessed are you when people insult you or persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." The Bible tells us that's a blessing. And if you think about it, really it's not hard to understand why that would be a blessing, because it means that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why you're being persecuted. And that's the biggest blessing that anybody could ever have. So the fact that we're suffering in this way is really a blessing to you. But I want you to look at that verse in a different way too. So often today, the persecution really is of the principles that Jesus Christ told us that we should live by. We have people all around us telling us that those principles are outdated and they don't apply to us today, and that we shouldn't continue to live by tenets that were written down thousands of years ago. They want us to change our whole outlook on morality and how we live as Christians and change to fit the times. And that's what we're going to see as we go through some examples today. Matthew 5:11 talks about both persecution and people making false statements because of Christ. Now, a lot of the people that are out there telling us we need to change, they don't give any thought to Jesus Christ. They're not Christians. They don't think about him on a daily basis. Many of them either have never read the Bible, don't read the Bible, don't believe what's in the Bible, and so Jesus Christ is just an afterthought to them. But they do see the effects of Christianity. They see that we live our lives differently from the rest of the world. And that, they believe, is a threat to the way they want to live their life. They believe that we're supposed to adjust and live in the same worldly way that they live, that we shouldn't be trying to convince people that the only true way to live is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So they want us to change, and inevitably that want for us to change turns into a demand for us to change. And that's what's happening in our country right now. Whenever someone talks in favor of teachings that are contrary to the Bible, they're making false statements because of Christ. That's what they're doing, whether they realize it or not. When they tell you something that doesn't match up with what's in the Bible, that's an affront to Jesus Christ. That's an attack on Jesus Christ when that happens. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." One way to simplify that is that everything that was written in the Bible, every single word, became personified when Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was the Word. He is the Word. Now, I told you at the beginning of the lesson that I sometimes find examples of the way that I kind of know that God's led me to teach the lesson that I'm supposed to be teaching. Well, this morning I'm reading Franklin Graham. He on Twitter, which I don't really understand how it works, but he sends out messages every day with Bible verses and stuff. And this was his Bible verse today. It's Mark 13:31. It says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." No matter what happens here on earth, God's word is still God's word, and it's forever. And there's nothing that man can do to change that. There's nothing that man can do that will cause God's word to pass away. In John 1:14, it says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Of course, talking about Jesus Christ coming to be our Savior. So when we see society change the rules we live by, or require us to change, or demand that we change, and promote ways that are contrary to the Bible, we're seeing people falsify about Jesus Christ. What they're saying is that you're believing old-fashioned ways that don't apply anymore, and you need to change with the times. If you're holding to those old-fashioned ways, you're racist, you're bigoted, you're prejudiced. And that's not who we want to be as a people anymore. We want you to change, because there's no basis for continuing to believe like you want to believe. Well, that's an attack on Jesus Christ. That's all that is. They may not ever mention Jesus Christ's name, but when they say that to a Christian, that's an attack on Jesus Christ. Here are some examples of recent attacks. There is an organization called Capital Ministries. Its president's a gentleman by the name of Ralph Drollinger. He leads a weekly Bible study at the White House, and he's currently being attacked by the media and pro-LGBT groups. Now, LGBT is an acronym that stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual people, all right? Now, even in today's study, you'll see some variations of that LGBT, because almost every day they add another letter to it, and another group of people who are engaged in alternative sexual lifestyles join in with that organization and saying that the rest of us are crazy, and the rest of us have to change, and the rest of us have to accept what they believe about sexuality. Well, in this case, this Ralph Drollinger, who leads this prayer group, has been teaching what the Bible says about sexuality, and they're not going to stand for that. He's being attacked because of those views. He's being attacked about his view of gender roles, about the roles of men and women within the church, and he is supportive of some acts of the Catholic Church, particularly with regard to their opposition to abortion, and he's being attacked about that as well. This Bible study group each week includes Vice President Mike Pence, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, and Energy Secretary Rick Perry. That's the bulk of the cabinet of the President of the United States that are in these Bible sessions every day. I didn't know these people went to this Bible group study every week. It gives me encouragement that we got a group of people who are Christians, who are in power in Washington, D.C., and not only who are Christians in power, but they're not afraid to openly go to meetings to let people know they are Christians. They're not ashamed to admit that they study the Bible. They're not ashamed to come together as a group with other Christians to study the Bible. Well, it's under fire for not ascribing to politically correct worldviews on social issues. That's the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual complaint about this group, is that they're not politically correct. Well, let's just look at what the Bible says about these issues. These are the things that this group's studying that's got people in such an uproar. Mark 10:6 says, "At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." There's not an "and" transsexual. There's now something called pansexual, which I just learned about this week, and I don't even understand it. I don't know. I don't get it. But it's really pretty simple. God made men and women. That's it. Nothing else. They didn't leave out some words. That's the complete verse. And this group's saying that if you believe that, then you're discriminating against them, and you have hate in your heart towards them. They're upset about abortion. Jeremiah 1:5, we've all seen this verse a million times. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You were a human being with a soul before you were ever born." It didn't happen instantly the minute that you passed through the birth canal that you got a soul. It happened even before that. And when you abort someone with a soul, you're murdering them. That's what you're doing. But this group wants you to believe that the people who believe this, who read this, who study this, are the ones that are prejudiced and have to change. Gender roles in the church. 1 Timothy 2:12 says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. Now, there's probably some of us in this room right now that are going, oh, that one makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. You know, that's kind of harsh. Boy, that's kind of direct. Folks, it's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. It's what the Bible says. It's God's plan for us. And you can either believe it and endorse it and support it and study it and learn from it or not. But at some point, you're going to have to answer to God about why you make the decisions that you've made. But again, this group of Christians in Washington, D.C., they want us to believe that they're out of touch because they would believe something like that Bible verse. Christian views are being attacked because they're in conflict with world views. You know, I don't know how long ago, it's been over a year ago now, we looked at the percentages of people in this country who identified themselves as Christian, who went to church every week, who said that they read the Bible every day. And over the years, we've seen that number, all those numbers, decline every year. It's fewer and fewer, fewer and fewer, fewer and fewer. Until now, we're at the point Christians who go to church and study their Bible are a minority in this country. We're not the majority any longer. We're a minority. And that's where these people who attack us get their power. They say that, well, you're just a small group, and so you need to change to match what the majority of Americans believe. Folks, they just have a fundamental misunderstanding about what Christianity is that they think that we just change our views to match what political surveys and special interest groups say we should be as people. Second example of an attack. The United States Navy is investigating a complaint that sailors used a Bible display to illegally evangelize Japanese locals in an Okinawa military hospital. All right? First of all, let's get a couple things straight. This happened in Okinawa, Japan, at a United States military hospital. This was not a Japanese hospital. This was a United States military hospital that only treated United States military personnel and veterans. So if a local Japanese person broke his leg, he couldn't go to this hospital. That's not what it was designed for. That's not who they treated, all right? So it's only Americans who are supposed to be at this hospital. The complaint alleges that military leaders placed a Bible and a placard on a prisoner of war missing in action display in the hospital's public gallery on March 26th. Now, public gallery is a fancy way of saying the lobby. The lobby of the hospital, they had a table over on the side, and somebody put a placard that said, "Remember our missing in action and prisoners of war," and with it they placed a Bible. That's what got this whole uproar started. The complaint about the Bible and placard said, the statement placing this Bible there is nothing more than an illegal, unconstitutional proselytization from an extremist, fundamentalist Christian sect. You know who they're describing right there? Us. That's who they're describing. Now, we didn't place that Bible on that table in Okinawa, but you know who did? It was a group of three or four sailors. They saw the display there and they said, you know, Bible's fundamental to who we are as a nation. We need to put a Bible there next to that poster about prisoners of war and missing in action. And now the United States Department of Navy has launched an investigation to see who's responsible for putting that Bible there and to determine whether or not they should be disciplined for placing a Bible on a table in a lobby of a United States government building. That's who we're becoming as a country. What's Mark 16:15 say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to creation. Read that verse a bunch of times. It doesn't say go into all the world except hospitals in Okinawa, Japan. says all the world. Christians were doing what Christians are told to do, what we're taught to do, what Jesus commanded us to do, to spread the word. Third example, I told you that the acronym grows. California LGBTQ, so now we have lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer. When all of this first started, you weren't allowed to say the word queer because that was viewed as a derogatory term, but now I don't understand the difference between queer and gay, and I don't know. I'm just telling you, that's what they call themselves, okay? California LGBTQ activists have introduced a bill that would make it illegal for Christians to provide biblically based counseling. Now listen to this. For those who want to get help for unwanted same-sex attractions. So if you're somebody who says, I know homosexuality is not the norm, and I'm having feelings that I don't understand, and I don't like them, and I want to get help for them, it'd be against the law to do that if you go to a Bible-based counseling service. They would put you in jail for seeking a Christian counselor to help you with this issue. Now, I know what everybody in this room is thinking. The first word of that statement explains everything. California. And you're right. Except that so often we see the craziness that starts in California begins to spread across the country to other places. That's what ought to concern us. That's what ought to make us say, well, it's their problem, it's not anybody else's. Look at this. A federal appeals court upheld a New Jersey ban on therapy to help minors overcome same-sex attraction. So New Jersey said, California, we not only support what you're doing, we're going to take it one step further. Two things that ought to scare us to death right here. First of all, it's saying that minors can't get help with same-sex attraction. So what that means is that if I have a child that I think can benefit from counseling and I want to send them to a counselor, the state of New Jersey is saying, I don't have that right as a parent. And in fact, I'm going to be breaking the law if I send my child to a counselor over this issue. The state's saying they know better than I know. And then the second thing again is that this isn't talking about people who are forced into counseling. This is talking about people who come forward and say, I want to go get counseling. I have a problem I need help with. And the government's telling us, no, you can't do that. Matthew 19:14 said, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. That verse we tend to think about just talks about children, but it doesn't. It talks about all of us, that when we have problems that we need help with, we're to go to Jesus Christ. That's who we're to seek out to help us deal with our problems. And so if I have an issue that I'm struggling with, I should be able to go to another Christian and say, help me with this. Help me get past these feelings that I'm having. And today it's talking about same-sex attraction. What's it going to be talking about tomorrow? What's the next sin that they're going to pick out of the Bible and say, we don't agree that that's wrong, and we don't think that Christians should be able to act in the way the Bible tells them to act about that sin? It's not going to stop just with this issue. And then attacked for parental responsibility. I don't know if you've been following this story in the news. To be honest, I've not read anything about it in the past couple of days intentionally, because it just breaks my heart so badly that I just struggle with reading about it. Two-year-old Alfie Evans, the child and her parents are all citizens of England, has been ordered removed from life support by the British government over the wishes of her parents. Now, if you remember about a year ago, I told you about another case where this exact same thing happened there. In that case, a child was declared to be terminally ill. It was an infant. It was just, I believe, just a couple of months old in England. And the parents were desperate. They started doing research and talking to doctors to say, just because we can't get help here in England, is there any place in the world that can provide help? Are there better doctors or better facilities someplace else that could help? And they found a hospital in California that said, we think maybe we can help your baby. And so they made plans to move their baby from the hospital in England to this hospital in California. And the doctors in England said that it would be more painful on the child to move it than just to let the child die in England. And so the parents sued the hospital. And the English courts sided with the hospital, and they said they know better how to care for your child than parents do. And now here we are, a year later, same situation, except in this situation, they're not trying to fly the child to California, which I don't know, from England would probably be a 10-hour flight, something like that, I don't know. And this one, they're trying to take the child to a hospital in Italy that says we can help this baby. So you're talking about just a few hours flight. And again, the British government has said, no, we're not going to allow you to do this. And then look at this. The British government placed 30 police officers around the hospital to prevent protesters from attempting to move the baby. What kind of society have we become when the government not only makes decisions for parents, they make life or death health decisions for parents about their own child, and then uses the police force of that country to prevent the parents from getting the medical help that they want for their baby. And I told you when we talked about this with the other child before that so much of our legal system is based on England's legal system. And so often we see things that begin in England eventually come to fruition here in our country. And folks, I'm scared to death that that's what's going to happen, that we're going to have this exact same situation happen in the United States. We also already see some very minor indications of this. Like in Arkansas, we have the Department of Human Services, DHS, that gets involved in child maltreatment, child mistreatment, child abuse cases where the government needs to step in to stop abusive situations. But you wonder, how far is it from that to what they're doing in England? I mean, isn't that just kind of the next step that's going to happen there as well? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, that pretty clearly tells us who God places responsibility on to make decisions about the care of your children. It's on us as parents, not on the government. Again, that verse doesn't say that parents are responsible unless the government steps in. It tells us that we are responsible. And in England, you have a set of parents trying to care for their sick baby who are being threatened with arrest and are having to make their way through 30 police officers to be able to see their baby because the government's so afraid they're going to take it someplace else and have somebody else treat the child. That's what's happening around us right now, right today, some close to home, some not so close. But what they all have in common is they're all an attack on Christianity. None of those examples that I read to you did they say anything about Jesus Christ. Not one of them said our complaint is with Jesus Christ. But they're all about the principles that Jesus Christ has told us we're to live by. That's the plan. That's Satan's plan, is to get us to let go of the principles first, and then we don't stand for anything. At that point, he's broken the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to watch what's going on around us, and we need to speak up and stand up now before it's too late, before we get into a situation where we don't have the power to act anymore. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, God. We thank you for your blessings and your care. And Lord, we lift up each one of these situations and pray, Lord, for your intervention in them, Lord, that you would change people's minds and attitudes, that they would come to a realization and an acknowledgement, Lord, that you are the King, the power, that you are the creator and ruler of the universe, and that when we turn our back on the laws that you have written for us, Lord, we're turning our back on you. I just pray that you'll strengthen each one of us in this class and in this church and Christians all across the world, Lord, that we would never give in to these kinds of demands and requests for change, Lord, but that we would stand firm on your word and never stray from it. God, we just thank you for all that you've done and pray for your continued blessing on our nation and your direction to our leaders. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you could just give that to Becky, she'll get it to the rest of us. Thank you.